Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, the gaming capital of the world, it's episode 35 of Game On with Cody and John. On this episode's big deal, resolutions. We'll take a look back at 2009 and give you our gaming resolutions for 2010. And on a very special Games Cody Won't Play,
Oregon,
I'll blaze the trail and tell you about this great Euro game.
Oh goody.
All this and much more on Game On with Cody and John.
Well, howdy gamers. It is Game On with Cody and John. I'm Cody.
And I'm John. Welcome to the Uncommon Podcast for the Common Gamer. We're a podcast about all sorts of tabletop games, role-playing games, board games, and card games. Coming to you from beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana.
14 wins, 0 losses.
It's a good year for the Indianapolis Colts. Right. And by the time you hear this, hopefully 15-0 if we can beat the dreaded New York Jets.
That's right.
Are they dreaded this year?
Kinda.
Okay, I don't know much about them, but
yeah, we'll see. But
you know, when the Colts win, we are happier podcasters.
So you all should cheer for the Colts, even you Saints fans out there,
because it'll make better content for you.
That's right.
Gaming stuff.
Absolutely.
So what have we got going on for this episode, Cody?
Well, in our big deal, we're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions. It's getting to be that time of year, so we're going to tell you, not that we're each going to lose 100 pounds. No, but we're going to talk about our gaming resolutions, and we're also going to talk about the show, kind of a year in review thing, and then what we have planned for you coming up in the new year.
Yep. And in place of a buy, try, or deny this episode, we're going to be doing a special Games Cody Won't Play. So you won't be hearing Cody.
What gym are you playing?
We're going to be playing Oregon from Rio Grande.
You will be playing Oregon.
I will be playing. And so I'm going to be talking about that one and giving you a nice review of that. And we'll be back in our next episode with the full buy, try, or deny and the full gambit of segments that we do. So you can kind of consider this like a travel edition.
That's right. Yeah, we're both heading out of town here in the next few days, so...
Yeah, yeah, but as always, we're going to start off, we got to stick with some tradition.
That's
here,
right.
Right?
We so do stand on tradition.
Exactly. We're going to start off with the Game On Inbox with starts
now.
The Game On Inbox.
Send us an email at gameoninbox@gmail.com.
Do it.
It is the Game On Inbox where we have a veritable bevy of good gaming information for you.
A bevy.
A bevy.
I gotta look that one up. I'm not sure if I know what bevy means.
I don't think
it means a lot, though, right?
Possibly. I don't know. I could be making that up. But we do have a lot of good stuff for you. But as always, we are going to start and give our, as I like to call, our penance to the man. That is
to Father Dan.
Our great to Father Dan. Bless you. We're going to give you the latest news from our sponsor, Myriad Games, John.
That's right. And you know, Myriad Games and Dan and Sarah Yarrington, who run that great friendly professional game store. I just wanted to remind you that it's New Year's time, and as you ring in the new year, you know, make it a New Year's resolution to share your love of games with others. So, you know, that's one thing that we do as friends, Cody and I, and as gamers, is that when we get new folks into our group or people we meet at work, and we try to share new games with them, and it's a great way to grow the hobby, and we're definitely in a growing hobby here. It's not, you know, it's not a stagnant thing. Stuff is just exploding in the gaming industry.
That's
right
how
now.
We got our start.
Exactly, yep. And so... Well, we just would encourage you to, as you're going about your holiday activities there and you happen to be meeting with family and with friends, take some games with you and share the games. I've found that just in some of the little parties that I've gone to recently, just taking a couple of party games like Time's Up Title Recall or you know, some card games or something like that, I almost always get someone from that party contacting me later saying, hey, where did you get that game, and trying to pick up a copy. So it's real easy to do because, you know, all this stuff is fun.
Yeah.
And so Cody and I would encourage you to do that. Myriad would encourage you to do that. And so there you go. Have a happy holiday season. And be sure to check out myriadgames.com for a great friendly professional game store, as well as their podcast, Myriad Games Presentations.
Sounds good to me.
So now we're going to talk about a few games we've been playing lately. Cody, what's been on your agenda for playing lately?
It's been kind of an RPG heavy. Little bit. Blessed time. I ran a special one-shot Hollow Earth Expedition game. It was called Operation Sinterklaas, where basically the pulp heroes, it was just a kind of pre-generated characters. They had to stop an evil Nazi plot to kidnap Santa Claus.
Sinterklaas, I get it. Sinterklaas,
yes. So they managed to... it was a published scenario, so it's not something I came up with. But basically, with the help of the reindeer, they boarded a Nazi super airship, saved Santa and his sleigh, and returned him back to where he was after finding out that he is an Atlantean agent who is poised with protecting the Hollow Earth. It's 30s pulp adventure, goodness. Man. I mean, come on.
Were any reindeer harmed during
the... No. The reindeer are quite potent.
Was any figgy pudding involved?
No. Okay. There's not. Nice callback, though.
Thanks.
Kaylin and I also played in our first Pathfinder Society game.
Oh, really? How'd
that go? This is the organized play for the Pathfinder role-playing game, which we reviewed in some past episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you were going to know the number off the top of your head.
Oh, gosh, no. I don't know chapter and verse for all of our episodes. Oh, well. I was around Gen Con or slightly after that. So.
Right. So we played that, and it was a lot of fun. We both really liked playing that system again. It kind of brought back a lot of good memories and good feelings. And just the way they kind of organize the organized play, is it's a really smart system, and it's something that I really like. So we're going to be doing it again here. I think it's going to be a monthly thing here in the area.
Does it feel different from D&D 3.5, or is it pretty much just like playing D&D 3.5?
Oh, it feels a lot like it. I mean, okay. it feels like you're playing D&D 3.5 with house rules.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, just playing it, you know, it very much felt like 3.5, and I was, you know, even using 3.5 names for things, but it was really nice. I mean, it was just, you know, we had to look up a few things because, you know, that we had some other people who were new that they'd played D&D 3.5 but not Pathfinder, so we'd explain some of the changes. But it went smoothly, and it was a good mod and a lot of fun.
So if you're a D&D 3.5 player, I think we've even mentioned this before, but mm-hmm. just to clarify, you could get into this real easy, right?
Yeah, you'd be...
There's not that much of a transition, is there?
You'd be about 95% of the way there.
Oh, great.
I mean,
okay.
It literally is 3.75. They took the core of 3.5, just made some tweaks to things. But yeah, if you know 3.5, you already know the rules. You just have to learn a few new little quirks of the system.
Cool.
Yep, so... and you can actually check out the glut of the rulebook online, d20pfsrd.com. It's called the standard reference document, and it's pretty much the whole rules that are out there for free, and nice. Paizo sponsors it, so check it out.
Fantastic.
And what have you been playing?
You know, as far as board games, not as much as usual. Now, Cody and I played a game of Memoir 44.
That's true.
Which I haven't pulled that game out in quite a while. That was probably on the verge of being kicked out by the Richard Postulate. No, but
I'm glad we played it.
It's back on the clock now.
Yep.
And, you know, of the games that do the Command and Colors system from Richard Borg, I think I like that one the best. And it's real easy to learn and to teach people. I played it with my son. But, yeah, and we played the first scenario.
Yep, the Pegasus Bridge.
Right, which is the Germans are in a real – or the it's the Germans, right, in this case, right?
Yeah.
They're in a bad spot, and they get surprised by the British.
Right.
And I was playing the British, and you still won.
Oh, yeah.
How did that happen?
I was really hot with the dice. And,
yeah.
And Kaylin and I actually played that same scenario later.
Uh-huh.
And I won again.
Really?
Granted, it was her first game. And it was actually a closer game. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. It was a closer game with her.
You don't even have to try.
Yeah, thank you. But that's where I found in the rulebook that you're actually supposed to play the scenario twice and switch sides.
Oh, okay.
And then you see, you total up all the medals you got, and the winner is whoever got the most medals.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That's almost... I mean, I don't think Space Hulk has specific rules about that, but I think they encourage that, too,
yeah.
That you can play through... playing each side, because they're very different.
Yeah, and Memoir 44, it's so short.
Yeah.
You know, at 30 minutes, you're done. So.
One of the fun things about that game is that it's not really meant to be balanced. I mean, it's
realistic.
It's supposed to be realistic and matching the actual scenarios that happen post D-Day there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you might find yourself at a disadvantage. So if you're able to pull out a victory, then that's, you know, that's even better.
I really want to play an Overlord game. Like, I know you played in the one at Origins with a lot
so
of the Dice
fun.
Tower crew, and
yeah.
I really want to get in on that. So
yeah, that's
looks good.
We'll have to set up something. Well, at Origins, when we go this year, we'll have to see if that's going on again. And if not, we could do our own thing.
Absolutely.
That'd be cool. Let's see, as far as other kinds of gaming stuff, I got in the mail, because I bought it through my, like, there's like a point system at my job where if you do good stuff, you get points that can be redeemed for stuff, and I found out that you can actually get some gaming stuff through this system.
There you go.
It's like kind of hidden.
It makes you work harder.
I know, right? So because of work-related stuff, I was actually able to get a free copy of Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay.
Oh, my.
The new edition.
The brick.
Oh, my gosh. The new edition that just came out from Fantasy Flight. And it is. It is basically a brick. It comes with four books. They're a soft cover, but they're pretty thick. And then a bunch of components, too. This is unlike any role-playing game I've ever seen, where it almost looks like a hybrid board game.
Yeah.
And it's got a whole bunch of cards, real, very special, intricate, different dice. I haven't had a chance to look through all the rules yet, but it looks like it's going to be pretty cool. And I think I want to give this one a try.
Here it is.
I know I've said that about WEGS. I've said that about Rogue Trader. And I've said about this one. But this one, for a board gamer, this looks like something I could really get behind because it's got all those board gamey components to it. Yeah. So jury's still out on that one. I'll definitely be giving you more information about Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. We may even do a review of it at some point. We'll see how that goes. But so I'm looking through all that stuff. I'm doing some painting. I've been painting my Dervish Warjack. I got a light Warjack. It's a Protectorate of Menoth for War Machine, called a Dervish. And it's a cool guy. He's got like two big swords that he's holding. And he's a little bit challenging because you have to paint part of him and then assemble part of him after you've painted so that you can get your brushes in there and everything.
Yeah,
so.
The assembly? The assembly is kind of where I fall off the wagon just because it's like I can paint him and put him on the base and maybe even base him. It's like, man, if I have to like pin things and I'm lazy, I'm like, I'm okay.
Well, when I started out, I started doing a lot of pinning because I knew it was a technique that I wanted to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But I sort of found that I've got pretty good super glue and you know, it's not like these things are going to be tossed
around
the table.
They're not action figures, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you're going to be pretty gentle with them anyway. Mm-hmm. So usually just the super glue has worked on most of the stuff that I have. So having fun with that. And then the other big thing here is that I just got a copy of Assault on Black Reach, the starter Warhammer 40K set.
Oh, jeez.
And a listener, Taylor Groh, had offered to trade me for his set because he had a set that he hadn't even pulled off the sprues. I think he said he had assembled one of the miniatures, and he had all the stuff. And so we organized a trade. I traded him for one of my board games and just got it in, and it looks really cool.
Your descent into miniature gaming.
Oh my gosh. I'm having so much fun with this assembly and painting stuff. I'm not even really getting into the gameplay yet. But so now I have literally like 20 or 30 miniatures to paint and assemble. So I'll be messing with that for a long time. So thank you, Taylor, for emailing me and organizing that trade. I think I'm going to have fun with that. But that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm probably going to get some gaming in with the family when I go to Texas.
That's what I plan to do. Well, I mean, not with your family in Texas.
Well, feel free to come down to Texas if you want to. And so we'll be telling you about that when we get back. So I think that's games played.
All right. Well, I think we've got a big update for you regarding our, we didn't give it a name, but the Tom Vassell fundraiser.
The Tom Vassell unoriginally named fundraiser.
That's right. We got a lot of good response from you guys. The contest has only been out a few weeks now.
The response has just been fantastic. We want to thank you so much for contributing. And well, for those of you who haven't heard about it yet, well, let's go ahead and just tell you. We've been running a fundraiser for our fellow podcasting friend, Tom Vassell, who is a missionary pastor in Korea, and he's going to be making a transition and moving maybe back to the United States, maybe someplace else, but he's going to need some money to help him with all the moving expenses.
He might move to Indianapolis.
What's that?
He might move to Indianapolis.
That'd be great.
A lot of churches.
Got a lot of churches here and the gaming capital of the world. So.
That's right. So bing, bing.
need Tom Vassell here.
3 hours from Origin, so don't worry, Tom.
There you go. It's close enough. And he has six children, so lots of expenses there. So we're raising money to try to help him with that, just to be able to kind of give him just a big old check to help him out with those expenses. But we want to make it a little bit of an incentive for you listeners, and so we have put together a fabulous prize package.
It is fabulous.
It is extremely fabulous.
We walked by it on here in the Game On studio, and it's an impressive pile that's growing there.
And still growing.
Still
too.
Growing by the day.
So we told you in the last episode that as things came in, we would tell you a little bit about it. So here, as of right now, as we're sitting and recording this, is our prize package for this game. Now, the very first thing I want to mention is probably the most important part of the prize package. And Cody, why don't you tell them about the special certificate that they're going to get if they win this contest?
That's right. It was impossible to put a cash value on this because it's truly a priceless artifact here. You will get a certificate that will, when redeemed, I will play a Euro game with you and your group of your choice. And as you know, I'm not a big Eurogame fan, but I will not complain. No eye rolling. I will have a grand old time playing Puerto Rico, Kalis, whatever Drek you want to throw on the table. I will have a great time and just be all smiles and enjoy it.
And he'll try his best not to call it Drek when you bring it to the table.
Exactly. No, no, no. I will be Mr. Positive. So you will get to play a Eurogame with me either at Origins or Gen Con. Those are the two places you'll probably find me at. Or we'll work something out if you live in Korea and you we'll work something out. We'll do play by email. But
yeah, there you go. But you'll get that right. And in addition to that great prize, which you're right, no cash value on that. It's priceless.
If I were eligible to win, I would probably enter the contest so I could win it and rip it up. But that's how much I want to assist Tom in getting the hell out of Korea. So.
Very nice. So as far as actual physical games that you're going to get, we've gotten lots of great sponsors to sponsor this contest. And one of them is Days of Wonder. Days of Wonder is contributing a copy of Colosseum, Ticket to Ride, the Marklin edition, and the Ticket to Ride card game. The Alderac Entertainment Group, or AEG, has contributed Russian Crush, Monkey Lab, the card game Straw, and then two of their newer games, The Isle of Dr. Necro and Arcana. And then we have from Out of the Box Games, copies of Word on the Street, Backstreet Drawing, which we've talked about both those shows on the card.
Whoa.
We've talked about both of those games.
There
on the
you
show.
Go. He's a podcaster.
I am. Letter Roll, Ninja versus Ninja.
Great game.
Favorite of ours.
Great game.
And also 10 Days in Asia. I thought it was interesting they sent us 10 Days in Asia, given that Tom lives in Asia.
Thanks, Leah.
Yep. And from Crosscut Games, a copy of Galactic Emperor. That's a real hot one on Board Game Geek. It's sort of a... Well, I'm not sure if Adam West, the designer, would want to describe this way, but you know, it's kind of like Twilight Imperium that can be played in an hour and a half. And so
I've heard Puerto Rico in space, but obviously that can't be accurate.
No, no,
because it's a fun game, I hear.
Yeah, yeah. Just as a side note, the designer of Galactic Emperor, Adam West, actually works in my building at work.
At the Batcave?
No. I do not work at the Batcave. But it just turns out he works right down the hall from me, and so we were able to work that out. So thanks very much, Adam.
Wayne Manor?
And okay, please stop. And then from Bucephalus Games, we got a copy of Kachina and the new version of Dwarven Dig. And then
an old Kinzer and Company game.
Yeah, that's right. And then to round it out for right now, we've got from North Star Games a copy of Say Anything, that great party game.
Gotta have it.
And you know, North Star Games is actually a sponsor of the Dice Tower, so many thanks to them for supporting this adventure on our podcast as well. But, you know, we're not done with that yet. We're expecting some more shipments to come in, including a shipment from our great sponsor, Myriad Games.
Yep.
So they're going to be adding to that as well. So
as well as Fantasy Flight.
Yeah, we've got some stuff from Fantasy Flight, too, I hope. You know, just waiting by the door.
That's right.
So anyway, that right there is 17 games, and we expect the total to go well over 20 games. This is for one winner. One winner. Yeah. And so for every $5 that you donate to the Tom Vassell fundraiser, you're going to get one entry into the contest. Currently... we're recording this on December the 22nd.
Good job.
As of December the 22nd, we have raised $450.
Yep, we're getting there. We're getting there.
But hey, that's, you know, just the games that we're giving away is worth more than $450.
Absolutely.
So we want to just drive this up and just encourage you that if you haven't donated yet, donate now. If you've already donated and want to throw in some more to get more entries in the contest, that'd be great too.
Absolutely. And we are paying shipping.
So. We are. Yep. That's the Cody and John contribution to this.
Anywhere
in the world, we'll get that shipped to you. And so, you know, we just want you to help Tom out, and we thank you for all that he's done for gaming and for podcasting. And
so go to gameonpodcast.com and you will see the big banner that says donate to the, I forget what it says. I made it.
You made the banner.
I did.
The Tom Vassell fundraiser has begun, I believe. Yes. You won't be able to miss it. It's right there in the middle of the page.
Click
there.
On that and flood us with entries.
All right. To close out the game on Inbox, we have one final comment, hopefully a final comment, on this whole Australia versus New Zealand thing. So it's kind of died down from the past couple episodes, but you may remember that we've had this sort of rivalry crop up.
It's been pretty epic.
It has, yeah, between folks from Australia and New Zealand emailing us in to see who are the biggest Game On fans.
Sure.
And you know, we've been trying to claim our spot as an ambassador, a gaming ambassador to one of those countries. So New Zealand has been in the lead, I believe.
New Zealand currently quite ahead of the game.
Yes. And so we thought that it would be appropriate if we solicited the opinion of an Australian gaming professional, if you will.
Oh, sure.
And that's a gaming podcaster extraordinaire, Giles Pritchard. You may have heard from some other podcasts. And so he has sent us in a clip with his opinions on this whole Australia versus New Zealand thing. So go ahead and give this a listen.
G'day to the listeners of Game On. This is Giles Pritchard. You might know me from such shows as On Board Games, The Dice Tower, and Teaching Strategies. I just wanted to throw my perspective into the ring of this whole Australia and New Zealand feud. I couldn't let such a spat go past without offering my objective context to the rivalry between our great countries of Australia and its farthest-flung state, closest neighbour. Australia and New Zealand are both a part of the great Commonwealth of Nations, meaning we share a lot in common with many of the countries of the Commonwealth. One such common cultural trait is a love of sport and sporting prowess. We also share a great love for the genteel teasing or sledging of our worthy opponents. Aussies love teasing the Kiwis about their accent, their love of sheep, and how we smash them at cricket. Kiwis, on the other hand, love teasing the Aussies about our accent, our love of sheep, and how they smash us at rugby. And they'll also never let an opportunity pass to complain about a certain ball bowled in a certain game of cricket some years ago by a certain Australian bowler, or the stance of the Australian government on the important issue of apple importation-exportation. So, if there's any game afoot that can be scored, whether sport or a board game, or even writing letters to a favourite podcast, Aussies and Kiwis just can't let the other win. There are differences, though. Australians are traditionally so desperate to idolise any local success that we'll even steal them from our lovable neighbour. Kiwis, on the other hand, secretly want to be Australians, and are often only too happy to be stolen. America and Canada share a great heritage, and Australia and New Zealand is a similar story. New Zealand's picturesque landscape will be known to many around the world thanks to the Lord of the Rings movies. It is Middle Earth, actually on Earth. But I've only got one problem with this analogy, and it stems from The Hobbit. You see, if it did come down to a riddle game between Bilbo and Gollum came out with a frightening riddle in the dark, alive without breath, as cold as death, never thirsty, ever drinking, all in mail, never clinking. And Bilbo replied, fish. Gollum would have turned on him in an instant. It's fush, precious! Yes, we Aussies never tire of that old joke. In any case, if New Zealand is best described as a real-world shire, then surely we Australians should be thought of as the tireless rangers of the north. Just as Aragorn II, King of Gondor, sort of quietly annexed the shire when nobody was looking, so too will our two great countries' rivalries lead us to the not-too-distant point where Australia ever so quietly adds another point to the Star of States beneath the Union Jack on our flag. Aussies will be happy. The rivalry will continue as state rivalry. The East versus West and Melbourne and Sydney crowds will know what I mean there. And the quiet and simple Kiwis too will be content. Their secret dream of being Australians will finally have been fulfilled.
Well, all right then.
That's so heated.
That's so the New Zealanders really want to be Australian. I didn't know that.
I guess we had it all wrong.
Yeah, okay. Well, if any Kiwi listeners out there want to...
you had a little lisp there. Kiwi listeners.
I can't help it. If any Kiwi listeners out there that want to comment on that, you know, feel free. We'll just keep this going for as long as we can.
Sure.
Until we hear about some kind of armed conflict.
All right, and if you'd like to send us an email, even if it's related to the rivalry or not, you can do so at...
GameOnInbox@gmail.com.
That is the Game On Inbox, and that's the best way to reach us. We love getting email from you guys about...
We love it.
Thank you. About all things in gaming, and that is the best way to reach us, and we will get back to you lickety-split.
Yep. Yeah, it might take us a while. We're on the vacation right now.
That's
but,
right.
You know, we'll definitely get back to you as soon as we can. So, well, I think that about wraps up the Game On Inbox, and now it's time to move into our big deal entitled...
Resolutions.
The big deal.
As far as deals go, this one's pretty big. All right, it is time for the big deal, which is called Resolutions. We're going to talk about the past year, 2009, what we did that we thought was cool in gaming, the highs and lows, and talk about our plans for 2010 or 2010 or however you want to say it.
Yeah, so the stuff we'll be doing in 2010. So, you know, just as a kind of a look back on the year, it's been a really busy year for us as far as gaming stuff goes. and convention stuff and also stuff with the podcast. You know, we started the podcast in the end of August of 2007, eight.
Oh, wow.
2008, yeah. End of 2008. And so this has been our first full year as podcasters and as gamers. And, you know, I think it's been a pretty rewarding experience.
Yeah, our union check has been excellent.
Yeah, I know. We've gotten so many royalties for it. But, you know, I know that one thing for me as far as new stuff that I tried in 2009 is all the stuff with miniatures wargaming. And I've never really been exposed to that kind of stuff before. And I think through other podcasts, you know, we mentioned the D6 Generation before. And also, through Fantasy Flight, I think, you know, and some of their issuing of Warhammer licensed stuff has really helped me to start to have an appreciation for that miniatures wargaming. That's always been a part of the gaming store that I've really shied away from and not really understood. So I'm sort of starting to get into it a little bit. And so that's been a kind of a cool thing. You know, there's been a lot of new games that have come out. So Cody, what are some things that you've been doing new or that you're, you know, trying that you've never tried before?
Two things come to mind when I think of 09. The first is, when it comes to gaming and leisure activities, I'm kind of a waffler. I'm kind of a wishy-washy guy. That's just how I am. On important things, I'm a pretty steady guy. But when it comes to games and hobbies, I'm flavor of the week most of the time. So this year has been a going back and forth between 3.5 D&D or Pathfinder, as it were, and 4th edition D&D. I have literally been committed on both sides of the fence multiple times.
Yeah.
And so the state of that is, I talked about the Pathfinder game, the Pathfinder Society game, and finally getting a chance to play it. And even though I'm running a 4th edition game now, I think I have fallen in the camp, and I say this now.
This week.
I may listen back and say, oh, what was I thinking? But I think I've fallen in the camp of in the 3.5 / Pathfinder, because it is a little meatier. I think I like that better. My 4th edition game is going to end here in like March, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, that was my only tie to it, because I don't do RPGA anymore. And so once I've kind of done with that campaign, then I'm free of the bonds. I still think it's a good system. I still think for newcomers, it is a preferable system just because it is easier and you still kind of get that D&D feel. But it's like once you've had the taste of the old edition, you kind of want to go back.
Yeah.
That's been one of my big things.
And I feel like I'm going to be coming to that point in 2010 when it comes to War Machine versus Warhammer 40K.
Yeah.
I have to decide, for one thing, am I really going to get involved in one of these games heavily? Mm-hmm. You know, because it's not just one of those things where you buy one board game and you decide you don't like it. It's a thing. It's a hobby you kind of commit to. And so I have to sort of decide whether I want to make this a part of my hobby, you know, my overall gaming hobby. How much time do I want to devote to it? And which of these games do I want to choose? You know, I bought the War Machine stuff. I bought the Warhammer 40K stuff. And I got to make a decision. I don't really think I can get heavily into both of them.
No. Your time and money will run out.
Yep. And I also have to just decide whether I want to get heavily into either of them, because I think it can sort of consume what you do as a gamer. And I think my first love in gaming still is board games. So that's going to be an interesting decision for me to decide which one is going to be the right one for me.
Yeah. Something that the other kind of major thing for 2009 with me was, I've kind of started to lean towards lighter games. I still like playing a nice game of Descent every now and then, but, I've tended to like more and more games that are under an hour.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just that kind of quick light things. I've really gotten kind of into the Looney Labs line of games. You know, we did the interview with Andy Looney, but a lot of those games I found myself really getting into the light kind of filler stuff, you know, the stuff that the hardcore gamers kind of turn their nose up at. I'm really liking that light filler stuff, you know. Like I said, I haven't sworn off Fantasy Flight, you know, by no means, but I'm getting into the lighter stuff more and more and bringing that to the table more often.
Well, probably I would just guess is that you probably have more opportunity to do gaming like that rather than the 4 hour long game,
right,
you know? Yeah. And that's really where I'm at too. I think I'm liking shorter games just out of necessity more than anything else. That, you know, when you and I get together for a game night once a week or so, it's more fun sometimes to play two or three games and get some variety in there than to, hey, I'll bring over, you know, one big long board game and we'll just play that for 3 hours. That's fun too, but you know, I feel the same way. And so that's why a lot of the new games that are coming out in 2010, especially from Fantasy Flight, there's two gigantic box games coming out. One is called Rune Wars. The other is called Horus Heresy, which is another Warhammer 40K property. Those look really cool to me as far as, you know, all the pieces and the artwork and everything. but I'm just not sure if I'm going to get them because I'm just not sure if, you know, we would buy them, but I could buy one, set it up. Cody and I could play. We could do a review of it on the show. But then I think that game might just sit on the shelf, you know, forever.
Yeah. See, as I mentioned last episode, I'm actually looking to get back into Descent, but I think I may take it a little slower, actually. You know, I may, if I eventually do get the base set of it, you know, you and I or Kaylin and I or me and some other folks, we may play through it. Because I actually like Descent as a two-player game.
Oh, yeah.
I really like it as a two-player game, if both people are into it. And, you know, I'm fine with just playing through that whole book and then deciding which expansion I'm going to get. I may not even ever get Road to Legend because I said D&D and Descent are different enough, and they are, but Road to Legend kind of, it gets too close to D&D. It's like, why do I need to get that? I run a campaign, or I'm in a campaign, you know. But I intend to kind of, I want to get a big box game and focus on it. It's like, if I have 8 of these big box games, I'm never really going to get into it. It's like, I'm going to get into one and really start to develop that.
Right. So, one of the things we talked about a lot in this past year was the Jones Theory. I think that ended up being something that resonated quite a bit with you listeners, because we got more response on the Jones Theory episode than probably any other episode that we've done of the show.
More positive than I had thought, too. I thought a lot of people were going to be against it.
And I think it just brought up some of the issues that I think every gamer is running into now, because we're in this sort of renaissance of gaming, especially board gaming, but even RPGs, I think a lot of them are coming back into full force now, is just this sort of balance of money and time, really. You know, it's like, what are you going to spend your money on? What are you going to spend your time on? And we can gain all these big collections of stuff, but what are we really going to be spending our time playing? And, you know, and how are we going to make those decisions? So, I mean, I think, Cody, that the Jones Theory was a revolutionary thing.
Well, thank you very much.
And for Game On with Cody and John especially. Yeah. So, and I know for me, it's really caused me to take a closer look at my game collection and start to cull some things out and really decide what are the most quality games. Because I think before, whenever something new would come out, we would say, wow, something new is out. I got to get it because it's new. But now so many new things are going out. I think we can be more selective about, there's 10 new things coming out. What are the 2 or 3 of them that we really think are going to be, you know, worth playing and might actually rise to the top of that Jones Theory criteria?
Exactly. I mean, this falls more into kind of a gaming resolution, but I want to make buying a game a bigger deal, and not in the sense where it's a money issue or, you know, I don't like buying games, but I want to really think a little more before I get it, because I've fallen into the same thing with you. Is like, oh, that's new, the components look good, I'm buying it. Whereas maybe I need to sit and play a demo of it. Maybe I need to, even if I think by reading the description that I'm really going to like it, I should still kind of make sure it's the one that's going to get enough play before I trade it or sell it at probably at a lower value than I bought it at. You know, I want to make it a statement that says, you know, this is a game that's coming on my table more than a couple times, and there's a good spot for it in the collection. So I'm definitely going to be a little more picky about buying games.
Now, I know that a lot of game stores, as Myriad Games is the one I can think of, is that they have a whole section of games that, you know, they can crack the shrink wrap open on them and play them in the store as like demo copies of games. I don't really know of any game stores around our area that have that kind of a deal.
No, nothing I know of.
But that sure, you know, that sure would be helpful, because, you know, we do our buy, try, or deny segment, and we tell people to try games, but, you know, even if we thought it was a try, we had to buy it in order to get it. Now, granted, we have gotten some review copies of games, but a lot of the stuff that we review, we've purchased ourselves, and, you know, whether it's good or bad, you know, the money was already spent.
Right.
So, you know, that, I don't know if there's something, that's something we could encourage our game store to maybe start doing. But
yeah, I mean, and another thing, and I know everyone can't get to conventions, but, you know, Origins, especially with the boardroom, you know, another resolution I want to do is, get in the boardroom, meet some new people, you know, play with newer people, and then learn some new games. Because I find we go to the boardroom and we play games we already know how to play or that we play at home.
Yeah, now I'm not going to stop playing the traditional yearly game of Box of Golf.
Well, that's the first thing we do.
That's got to happen.
But, you know, I want to get out there and maybe try some games that, you know, that's going to be my shot to do it. You know, you can only do so much in a demo in the really crowded exhibit hall, you know, because it's like, I always see those huge Fantasy Flight tables. I'm like, are the people really grasping how to play Descent in this really loud, cramped area? I'm like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, and I've taught Games of Descent at conventions before, and I felt like I did a pretty good job at it, but boy, that's a challenge.
Yeah.
You know? Now, as far, I think that maybe is a gaming resolution for me for this next year, is just to continue to broaden my horizons, you know, because I think I, you know, using the miniatures war game as an example, is that I kind of looked down, not looked down, but looked away from that part of the game store. Now I'm kind of opening my mind up to possibly giving it a try. I really went for years saying I want to get all pre-painted miniatures for any game that I play that has miniatures in it because I don't want to paint.
Mm.
And now I'm finding, boy, I really like to paint.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think that it's important to try to broaden those horizons. I always appreciate that you, Cody, even though we always make the jokes about, you know, games Cody won't play and Euro games, all that kind of stuff, you know, you'll usually sit down and play just about anything. You said that's that before. You'll play any game. You just tend not to, you know, gravitate towards the Euros.
Right.
But we've played a wide variety of things. And I want to continue doing that, too, and not be closed off to, you know, the thing I can think of for me is abstract strategy games.
Yeah.
I really could say that almost every abstract strategy game that I've ever played, it's been at the bottom of my list.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to keep an open mind in 2010.
Sure. And then I think the only other major resolution I can think of for myself is it's role playing based, and it's the fact that I want to play more. I really like GMing. I always kind of have. I guess, you know, we joke about, you know, I like to moderate. I like this. I like to be the control guy.
Yeah.
You know, but
the overseer of all
the overseer. But I think this year I'm really going to make an effort to play more. I mean, you know, I'm finishing up a D&D campaign now. It's been probably about a 6-month campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad, you know.
Yeah.
It was kind of an introductory thing.
It was weekly too, right?
Yeah, it was weekly.
That's a lot of sessions.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I find that I'm kind of already planning in the back of my mind, like, all right, so my next campaign will be this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if I can go a whole year without DMing a campaign-based thing. Now, I may do like one-shots, and I may do like if I GM a Pathfinder Society mod, that would be different. I'm talking about a weekly or bi-weekly campaign thing. I kind of want to step back and just be a player for, I want to see if I can do it for about a year.
But wow, okay.
That's tough for me because, like I said, I like crafting stories. I like GMing. I like kind of knowing all the secrets and all that. So
and that actually segues nicely into my last gaming resolution, which is I am bound and determined to GM a game in 2010.
There you go.
And, you know, whether it's a one-shot thing, or I'd actually really like to pick one of these games that I've talked about, WEGS or Fantasy Roleplay, Warhammer, or Rogue Trader, and try to put together a short campaign and just give it a shot. You know, I feel like I'm someone who has the ability, storytelling-wise, I think I could really do, really do that. I'm just nervous about messing up the rules. You know, Cody will tell you that I'm the guy that whenever we sit down to play a game, I'm always very concerned about whether we're playing something right. And so if we ever get to a point in a board game where there's a question about it, it's like there's this pause and Cody just looks at me and goes, go ahead and get the rule book out. Because he knows that I'm not going to be content until I look it up and find out exactly what that rule is supposed to be. You know, there are rules involved in role-playing games, but one of the main, quote-unquote, rules in role-playing is that it's not so much about that. And if you've got to fudge things sometimes, you know, you have that ability as a GM. And I think that's the thing I would struggle with is knowing, you know, if I forget a rule or if I don't know something, I don't want to sit there and look something up for 15 minutes while my party's sitting there, you know, tapping their fingers.
That's the beauty of the role-playing game is that unless it's a really major thing, you can kind of just fudge it a little bit and keep going, and it won't affect it in some major way. You know,
because your players probably won't know, depending on what it is.
Right, and even if they do, I mean, I've even noticed in my games, like, I don't know the rule off the top of my head, but we're kind of in a groove here. Let's say you just get a flat +2 bonus of this, and we'll move on. I mean, obviously, if it's the difference between, like, life and death of a character, I think they'll understand.
If you look it up, right.
But, you know, it's like, well, I'm firing my bow between two trees, and it's midday, and there's a bush in the way. It's like, do I get a +2 or +3? It's like, just roll
with
it.
Pick one,
just roll with it and go.
Yeah. So that's the one thing I really want to try to do is to GM a game. And,
perfect.
And yeah.
I'm stepping out of the way. You're good.
So you'd be one of my players?
Well, of course.
I think with Cody and his wife, Kaylin, I think I've already got two players.
Exactly.
That's easy.
Instant.
And we'll add a couple of more. So that's gaming resolutions. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk a little bit about what happened with the podcast specifically. So we did a lot of stuff this past year. And kind of going back to the early part of the year, we went to HoosierCon in March, which was a small convention. We actually, that was our first time of ever getting our equipment out and going into the public,
yep.
You know, where, you know, two people knew us, you know.
That's right.
And we did an episode from Hoosier Con, and that was, I think, our first opportunity to meet listeners, you know.
Yeah.
Folks who said, I actually have listened to your show, you know. And
that was really cool. That still is really cool. That
still is
really fun.
It's just shocking, actually.
Yeah.
To have people come up and say that they know, have listened to our stuff. Yep. So that was kind of a good thing. We'll probably go back to HoosierCon this year.
Yeah.
Not sure if we're going to do – we won't do an episode from HoosierCon, but we might take the recorder out. Who knows? But
that actually kind of segues a little bit into kind of our convention, I guess, philosophy for 2010.
It's like a double segue. Go ahead.
The double segue.
Yeah, tell them about our convention philosophy, because we've had a bit of we've talked a lot and discussed a lot about the convention stuff, because we did HoosierCon. We went to True Realm, we went to Origins, we went to Gen Con.
Yeah.
And so after doing all of that, we came to some conclusions. So
absolutely.
Go ahead, Cody.
We decided, we wanted to play more, and we decided we weren't really blazing any new trails. I mean, the show has always been kind of the common gamer, you know, the uncommon podcast for the common gamer is what we say. And there are plenty of great podcasts out there that kind of do the hall circuit, interview the new thing, you know.
Talk to the vendors,
right,
and
right,
having
right,
them
right.
Just describe their new games, you know.
And you know, we decided we're not doing that any better. We may be doing it a little worse. So
right.
So we're going to yield that, you know, shows like the Dice Tower, the Spiel,
The Game's the Thing, I believe,
Game's
does like a floor walk for their,
sure.
for their show, too.
You know, it shows like that, they do great work there, and we're going to let them do it.
Yeah.
We're going to take more of a common gamer angle, to where, you know, we might each have a portable recorder, and we might play a game in the Origins boardroom and then say, hey, guys, you got a second? We'll all talk about it. Maybe do a quick bye-try tonight with the people there.
Right.
You know, if I'm playing in a Pathfinder game, I may talk to people and say, hey, where are you from? You know, what kind of gaming do you do? We really want to kind of focus on that common gamer angle, because that's something we have a passion for and we feel we do very well.
Right. We feel like as podcasters, we are a part of, you know, this new media. And so we are able to, I think, have some influence on purchase decisions. I mean, I don't know if any of you listeners out there have maybe purchased a game because of what we said, or maybe decided not to purchase a game. And if so, then cool or not cool or whatever, you know. But we want to tell you about the things that we like. And if your opinions and personalities or whatever line up with ours, then feel free to make your buying decisions based upon that. But we don't necessarily want to be just a mouth for vendors.
Right.
You know, we really want to be the mouth for the common gamer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if we see a booth or a vendor that attracts us, or is like, oh, that looks interesting, you know, we'll do an interview with them, but it won't be, tell us about your product line.
Right.
You know, we want to move more into a, you know, questions you might ask just as a consumer or just a gamer.
Yeah. And we want to develop relationships with vendors, but on a much more...
a less corporate basis.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so we feel like we've done that with some vendors, I just don't want to have to go to a convention and just say, spit out your spiel on your product, you know.
Right.
I that's just, to me, that's not really any fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it might be somewhat useful to you, but I as listeners, but I think we could have a lot more fun with the talking to common gamers, you know, folks just like you that like to come to conventions and have a good time, and have you tell us what you like, and have the other have the listeners listen to that, you know, and we can all as a community together learn about the best games and you know, have the most fun.
Absolutely. And something else we'd like to do at a con, either Origins or Gen Con, probably Gen Con because it's our home con, as
the home
it were.
Con, yeah.
We are flirting with the idea of doing a game on event. Now, we're not talking anything huge. We may see if we can get it listed as a seminar or something, and
yeah,
then just something really informal where you can kind of come in. We can do a meet and greet, because what's interesting is, you know, we've had people come up to us at Origins and Gen Con and introduce themselves, say they listen to the show. And sometimes it's been kind of weird. You know, they've been like, oh, it's so great to meet you. It's like, you know, we feel more of that back at you.
Yeah, totally.
You know, we're like, oh, thank you. You know, someone's listening to the show. Thank God. You know, we're not just recording for 3 hours for no reason.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think an event like that, I know that other podcasts have done dinners and things like that. And some have even organized real, you know, real big events. I know the Spiel does a really great fundraiser,
yep,
that they do down at BGG Con. You know, and we want to find something that we can do, you know, that really is for us. We're still kind of thinking about it. We're not really, mm-hmm, sure. You know, we'd be open to suggestions. If you got something, an idea for something you'd like to do at a convention and come hang out with us, that would be great. You know, I think the gigantic group by Triad or Nigh would be kind of fun.
Yeah. Yay or nay.
I don't know what game we'd pick. Yeah. But, you know, something like that, just where we can just hang out with you guys and have fun. So, So you'll find that next year's convention coverage, I think, is going to be a little different from what you got in 2009. So if you're looking for vendors talking about their games, go check out these other great podcasts. But we're going to have something a little bit different for you that kind of matches up with what we have. One of the things when we started podcasting that I want to say it might have been Stephen Conway from The Spiel told me is he said that as long as you have a voice and you have something to say, then your podcast is worth doing. But if you don't really have anything to say, then it doesn't matter how good it sounds. Yep. And I think that's really true for us too, that we want to have a voice in this community of podcasters that is just slightly different from what everybody else is doing. And so hopefully we've done that and we'll continue to do that.
Absolutely. And another way we're going to be doing that is in our game reviews, in our By Try or Deny. We tend to focus on new games, and we want to continue doing that for the most part. Yep. But more and more you'll see us kind of going back and doing By Try or
Bias, tries, or denies.
Yeah, bias, tries, or I don't know the plural. But, doing reviews on games that maybe have been out for quite a while. We might do one on Descent. We might do one on
Magic the Gathering.
Magic the Gathering. You know, things like that where it, for most of our audience, is kind of like a no-brainer. Like, oh yeah, I know that game. But we've been surprised by people that have emailed, people we've talked to that, you know, say, oh, Descent sounds cool. I've never really looked into it. Or, you know, tell me more about Magic. You guys always talk about it, but I don't really know.
Or D&D. I don't even know what that's all
exactly.
about. Yeah.
So we might do By Tritonize or other segments based around that. And kind of, I've found that, you know, some of you may be rolling your eyes at this point saying, oh, Descent. You know, it's like, yeah, I've heard of that. But like Memoir 44 with us, we played it a while back and we were like, yeah, okay. We got it out again. It's like, I forgot how much I liked this game.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of hope to maybe bring some of that back and also bring, you know, kind of take away that fear of trying a bigger game that maybe has been out a while and that everyone expects you to know, like Settlers, you know, that might be another good one.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I know how to play Settlers. No, I don't. You know,
yeah. Give you guys like some resources to help you learn about those, even not newer games.
Yeah.
And we would say that we can wrap this up with kind of a new mantra that we have,
mm-hmm.
right? And what it is say what we want, play what we want.
Right.
That's going to be what Cody and John's motto is basically going to be, right. is that this is our podcast and we love that you listen to it. And I'll tell you that from January 2009 to December, our listenership has tripled. I mean, quadrupled.
Yeah.
It's just gone up a ton, and we're continuing to add more people every time, every episode. And but we want to be true to ourselves, and we think that is being honest with you. And so say what we want, play what we want. We're going to play the games that we like, and we're going to tell you about them, and we're going to hopefully give you some content that you love.
Right. Now don't worry that the show is going to completely change. It's still going to be pretty much the same format.
No. Don't be scared.
Right. But you'll notice a few shifts in content that we think will better go toward our common gamer kind of ideal. We're not dumbing down the show. You know?
Not at all. No.
like the one guy who wrote an iTunes review, you know, the mouth breathers.
Yeah, no, but, not going to be that way.
No, but I think, you know, we really want to focus on you, the gamer, instead of just looking at you as a consumer. Maybe look at you as a gamer, like as a guy that's like, hey, come on to my house. You know, it's like,
yeah,
stuff like that. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So you're more than just your wallet.
That's right.
just as we are. So anyway, so those are kind of some gaming resolutions that we've got. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're going to try to do some more phone interviews.
Mm-hmm.
If you have ideas for folks that you'd like to hear, you know, we're still going to say what we want and play what we want.
Yep.
But you know, there's lots of folks that we'd love to talk to, and we'd love to hear your suggestions as well. And, you know, go to all the conventions. I think that tentatively right now, we're both going to be going to Hoosier Con,
uh-huh.
Origins, yep. and Gen Con.
Right.
And I think I'm going to be at Board Game Geek Con
in
2010. And Cody won't be able to make that one. But that'll be kind of our convention schedule. But we hope to continue to bring you some great things in 2010. So
And finally, we want to... of course, you know, we wouldn't be doing this without you, the listener. So we want to thank you.
Yes, just thank you.
Thanks for being with us this year. If this is your first episode, if you've been with us since the beginning, thank you either way. And we hope that we keep giving you content that'll make you keep listening. And if you have any other suggestions, just general things, go ahead and shoot us an email at thegameoninbox.
At gameoninbox@gmail.com.
I'm going to resolve not to do that repeating thing as much.
if you listen back to like our first couple of episodes.
It was bad.
It was bad. We thought that was funny, but it wasn't.
No. Oh, well. But send it to us there, and you know, we do the show for you, even though it's kind of a say what we want, play what we want thing.
Yep.
In the end, if we don't have an audience, we don't have a show. So thank you very much.
Yes, thanks so much. And now it's time for another edition of Games Cody Won't Play.
I ain't going to play him. You can't make me.
Well, like we said, we're going to be foregoing the normal buy, try, or deny segment of the show in favor of a Games Cody Won't Play segment. And unfortunately, I'm flying solo today because the person that I was able to play this game with, Oregon, is my father-in-law, who lives about an hour and a half away, and so he wasn't able to join me for this session, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about this game, Oregon. I actually received a copy of this game as part of the Boardroom deal at Origins this year. One of the cool things about getting a Boardroom ribbon if you go to Origins is that you pay $16, you get the ability to check out any of the games from the Columbus Area Board Game Society library, and it's just a ton of games that they bring in. And also, the Jay Tumbleson from Rio Grande Games was generous enough to donate a ton of games to give out as free prizes. So if you got a board game Boardroom ribbon, then you immediately got a free game. And so the one that I drew was Oregon. And so I was, you know, anxious to get this to the table. It looked like it was going to be pretty cool. Of course, it's taken me a few months to actually get it to the table, mainly because it's a game that Cody's just not going to be interested in playing. So, but I was really impressed with it, and so I wanted to make sure that I told you guys about it so you might have an opportunity to go pick it up. So here's a little bit of the flavor text about Oregon. The year is 1846. Gunslingers, lawmen, pioneers, and whole families left their homes in the East and Midwest to try their luck in the West. They loaded their covered wagons with all they could and headed west across steppes, deserts, and mountains. Many chose to settle in Oregon, where the farming and hunting was plentiful and they could stake out a bit of land for themselves. The players have already reached Oregon and gaze upon the rich farmland below and the potential gold and coal reserves of the mountains. They build parts on the lakes, they build ports on the lakes and rivers, churches, warehouses, post office, and train stations on the plains. And, of course, they must farm the rich land to grow the food necessary for the area to grow and thrive. To win, a player must choose the right times to farm and the right times to build, for planning is necessary, even here in the untamed wilderness of Oregon. Oregon, the way the West was won. So it sounds like a big, rousing adventure game, but no, it's a European-style board game, and so there's not much adventure so much as there's a lot of really good strategy and planning, which is the earmark of, I think, a really good European-style game. So this game was designed by, I want to say it's Ace or Asa and Heinrich Berg, and so it's for 2 to 4 players, and it plays in about an hour. So what you're going to get with this game is you get a very nice board that is a map, a artistically drawn map of the state of Oregon. And it's divided up into kind of a grid. And so each of the rows and columns at the top and on the side there is going to have some sort of a an icon associated with it. And so these icons are going to sort of determine how you're going to play cards, which will allow you to place your little cowboy meeples that you get onto the board, and that's how you're going to score points and things like that. So you're going to get the game board. You get 60 farmers in 4 different colors. There's 15 for each player, and red, green, yellow, and blue. And so these are kind of like what I call the cowboy meeples. They look like little meeples with hats on. You're also going to get 50 landscape cards, and these are cards that have the symbols on them that I mentioned. You have settlers, wagons, campfires, bison, and eagles, and those are cards you're going to use to play during the game to be able to place your little guys. You're also going to get building cards. The different things that you can build in this game are post office, harbors, churches, coal pits, gold mines, warehouses, and train stations. And then along with those cards, you're also going to get some building tiles that will, these are the things that will actually go onto the board that you can use for scoring. So in addition to that, each player is also going to get an extra turn token, which can be used during your turn, and then also what's called a joker token, which is kind of a wild card. You're also going to get tokens to represent your gold and your coal, which will give you points at the end of the game. So the way you're going to set the game up is you're going to lay the board out in the middle of the table. You're going to set, you know, kind of lay out all of the different building types and the cards and you just sort them all out. And the landscape cards you're going to shuffle up and deal 3 to each player. And then the building cards you're going to shuffle up and deal 1 to each player. Your hand is always going to consist of a combination of these landscape cards and these building cards. And you can choose at the end of your turn which one of these things you want to draw into your hand. All the coal tiles you're going to shuffle up and place down face down next to the board, the gold tiles as well. Everybody's going to take all of the meeples of their color. And you're also going to get one of these extra turn tokens and joker tokens. And then you also have these 7 starting tiles. And so each player is going to get 1 starting tile, and then the rest are going to go back into the box. So this will give you sort of a starting point as to, you know, you sort of think like in Settlers of Catan, you get a starting settlement and a starting couple of roads. This is sort of your starting point for the game is this particular building tile. So on your turn, here's what you're going to be trying to do, because this is all about placing your guys on the board in adjacent to certain places that will allow you to score points. And so you're going to be limited by the cards that are in your hand as to how you're able to place these things onto the board. And it's this sort of clever play of the cards that makes this game really interesting. So on your turn, you're going to do 4 things. You're going to play cards. So your player will play 2 cards from your hand, and you're either going to place a farmer or you're going to place a building onto an empty space on the game board. I'll talk about in a second how that works out. Then you're going to score, because based upon putting the building down or putting the meeple down, you're going to be able to probably score points. If you happen to have one of those extra turn tokens and it's not on its exhausted side, then you can take an extra turn at that point. And then at the very end of the turn, you're going to draw cards to return your hand size to 4. And then it goes to the next player. So the whole game comes down to the playing of these cards. So I mentioned that the board itself is sort of divided up into a grid. And so at the top of the board, you know, there'll be the wagon, the bison, the settlers, the eagle, and the fire. And then on the left side of the board, the same symbols. So you have sort of this 5x5 grid. And so in order to play a meeple or a building, in order to play a meeple onto the board, you have to lay out 2 cards that will sort of create a coordinate, if you're thinking of sort of a graph, you know. So if you play a bison and a wagon, for example, then you're going to look at where the bison and the wagon intersect, where that square is on the board, and that's going to represent where you can lay your little tile. And each one of these 5x5 big sections has another, you know, 6 squares within that square. So it's like a bunch of squares within a square. But the cards are going to determine where you can put things onto the board. So if you play 2 of the landscape cards, then you're going to be able to place your meeple in one of those locations. If you play a 1 landscape card and a building card, well, then that allows you to build your building in any of the rows or columns that are represented by that particular symbol. And so you get a little bit more flexibility when you're building buildings. And so then you're just going to place it into the right space. Now, the different buildings have different rules as to where that they can be placed. So, for example, if you wanted to build a train station, it has to go on top of a railroad space. If you want to build a gold mine or a coal mine, that has to go into a mountain space. And if you want to build like a harbor, then that has to go next to some water. Then there's some other rules as far as the other things that you can build. So after you place down your meeple or your tile for your building, then you're going to be able to score. And the scoring is pretty straightforward. If you happen to place a farmer, meeple, I'm kind of interchanging those terms, meeple and farmer. If you place your farmer down adjacent to one of these buildings that's already on the board, then you can score some points for it. So for example, if you place a farmer adjacent to the post office, then the player earns 3 points. If you're adjacent to a harbor, you get 4 points. If you're adjacent to a coal mine, you're going to get one of the coal tiles. If you're adjacent to a gold mine, you'll get a gold tile. And then there's a couple of other ones as well. So the idea is that you place your meeple next to these buildings and you'll get points based upon those. There's a track that runs around the board, and so you'll immediately keep track of your score. If you place a building, it's a little bit different because you're going to place the building down. If the building isn't laid down adjacent to any meeples, then there's not going to be any scoring. But if you place the building down next to meeples, then the players that have those meeples are going to score at that time. And so, you know, there can be some real strategic placement of things so that you can keep your buildings away from your opponent's meeples and keep your meeples away from other opponents' buildings. And that's kind of the strategy of the game, is where are you going to lay these things where you're going to get the most points, but the your opponents are not going to get the most points. So one building, for example, that's interesting is the church, where the player will earn 1 point for each farmer of all, no matter what color it is, adjacent to the church. So that basically means that if there are already five meeples around one of these churches, and then you place your meeple next to the church, then you're going to earn 6 points. Even if all six of those meeples aren't your color, you're still going to earn 6 points. So that's kind of a special way of scoring for that particular one. So the game's just going to continue, and you're going to play these cards and these buildings and placing your meeples down and scoring appropriately. Now, where the strategy becomes very interesting in this game is when you start talking about the extra turn marker. So the extra turn marker, basically just you turn it over and exhaust it, and then you can take an extra turn. And that, you know, that's really good because you can get some additional scoring opportunities. But the only way that that extra turn token is going to get reactivated is if you happen to place a meeple next to a train station. It's one of those buildings. If you place it next to a train station, in addition to getting some points, you're also going to be able to reactivate that token and get your extra turn back. It becomes real important to be able to play these extra turns. And even more important is this Joker token, which is a wild card. So you can use that to represent any of the resources, any of the different symbols, like the eagle or the settler or whatever. And so being able to use that Joker is where you can really direct where you want to put your stuff. Because a lot of times you're really bound by what's in your hand. And if you don't have the right symbols, you can't get your meeples or your buildings to the place where you want it to be. Having that Joker will allow you to do that. But once you've used the Joker and it's already been activated, you can't reactivate that unless you place your meeple next to a warehouse, another one of the buildings. So you get points for that and you can reactivate your Joker token. So you can put together some pretty powerful combinations by activating your Joker and then reactivating your extra turn, and you can kind of set up some pretty cool stuff here as far as how that goes. Now, one thing you can't do is you can't activate your extra turn token and then place a meeple in a way where you would be able to reactivate it and then, you know, continue to get extra turn after extra turn. You're kind of limited to only two turns per total turn. But that's kind of how it's played, and the game is going to end when a player has placed his last farmer on the board, or, depending on the number of players, with a two-player game, as soon as any two kinds of building tiles are exhausted. For three players, you know, three kinds are exhausted, and four players if four kinds of buildings are exhausted. Then the round is played to the end, so that each player has played the same number of turns, and then you'll turn over your coal and your gold tiles, and you get points for those, and then you're going to adjust your scoring track. Whoever has the most points is the winner. So this is a, you know, real straightforward sort of European-style game. The artwork, I think, is very, very pretty, and I think that it's a really good thematic game. You're kind of play. It's a tile laying and a meeple laying game, but you know they've really used the artwork, I think, to sort of heighten the experience and to really make it feel like you're sort of settling and you know laying things down and trying to get the most points. So you know, like a lot of European style games, you know, it's not like the theme is heavily painted on here, but it definitely gives you a feel, and it's brightly colored artwork, and the components are real nice, and so I think this is a really good game. I hadn't actually heard a whole lot about this game prior to playing it, so I'm not sure if it's on anybody's top lists or anything, but I think it's a lot of fun, and it plays in literally less than an hour, I would say, probably more like 45 minutes. It's real easy to teach. It plays really well with two. I think it probably might play a little bit better with a couple more, because you get a little more competition there, but I found that it was a very tight two-player game, and just a lot of fun. So I give this one a definite buy. And so now, as always, we're going to go to Cody. And now that he's heard about this game, Cody, what did you think of Oregon?
Deny. Euro games suck.
Well, that's not too surprising. I guess we expected that, didn't we, listeners? So anyway, but that was a little bit of a look at Oregon, another game that Cody won't play. You on by, take it down the line, think you're
Well, thanks as always for listening. We hope you enjoyed this. It's kind of a different episode.
A little different, yeah.
A little bit. But like I said, we've got family to go see. We've got to get on the road. I've got a bit of a shorter drive than you. I'm going up to Chicago. And
that's right. I've got the 2-day trip to Dallas, Texas, a 14-hour journey.
With kids.
We're stopping in beautiful Joplin, Missouri on the way there. So
very good. Have fun with that.
Yeah, I will. We've got the nice new minivan, so that's going to make it a little bit better. But yeah, so we invite you to check out some of the other great podcasts that are on the Pulp Gamer Media Network, of which we were a proud member.
Of course.
And check that out at pulpgamer.com. Lots of great stuff there. And we'd also invite you to check out our guild on BoardGameGeek.com, where we've got forums and an image gallery. If you want to check out a picture of my completed Protectorate of Menoth battle group, I've got that all posted up there too. So feel free to laugh at it.
It doesn't do it justice. I mean, the thing in person is very impressive.
Oh, so. You've been so nice about that. Thank you.
Dude, you're good. I mean, you're already a better painter than I am, and I've been trying for years. So.
Aw, shucks.
Well done. That is Guild 576 on BoardGameGeek, if you're
correct.
Playing along at home. We'd invite you to check out our website at GameOnPodcast.com, where we have our big banner for the Tom Bessel fundraiser, the unoriginally named fundraiser.
Yes.
Through the end of January, all of the proceeds will go directly to Tom and his family to help them get the hell out of Korea, as I keep putting it.
Very nice. And then in early February, I'm not sure exactly when, but you know, whatever episode falls in early February is when we'll be drawing the name for it to win the fabulous prize package for this contest.
That's going to be epic.
Yep. So donate early, donate often, donate a lot. So join us in 3 weeks, not 2 weeks. We're going to take an extra week off here at the holidays because Cody and I are both going on vacation in different places, and we won't have quite enough time to play anything that's worth talking about.
That's right.
So we'll be back in 3 weeks' time to bring you another great episode of Game On with Cody and John. So to all of you out there, Happy New Year and Happy 2010. And until next time,
Game On.